It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Dr. Jim Withers is a rare breed of doctor. He still makes house calls. However, these house calls are to the homeless. For over 20 years, he has been providing medical services to the city's homeless population. What began as a nightly service in 1992 has become the nonprofit Operation Safety Net. Dr. Withers joins us in Studio A to talk about his continuing efforts to bring health care to the homeless. Dr. Jim Withers, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
What made you want to leave the cozy confines of an office to venture out onto the cold, dark streets in the dead of night to help people who cannot afford to pay for your services? I'm guessing these are people who don't have health care.
That's right. For the most part, they didn't. And they still don't have – a lot of them have the level of health care that they need. But my career has been with the Pittsburgh Mercy Health System, and I'm still associated with the Mercy Hospital teaching program there. So my idea was that we really needed a classroom where we could bring our students and ourselves and see what health care looked like from the outside, and what better teachers than people who are living under bridges and along the riverbanks here in Pittsburgh.
But clearly this is something that has pulled you, I would think, out of your comfort zone. Where did the yearning to do what you do come from?
Well, I mean, it was a strong yearning at that time particular. I think I was just really frustrated with the gap between how healthcare looks at people and how much each person's own reality is unique to them. I worked with domestic violence prior to this, and I realized there were lots of women coming through the health system who they were all but invisible when it really came to the central issues that were affecting their health care, the things that really were going to determine how well they did. And so kind of going back to house calls with my dad as a kid and third world medical things that I'd done, I thought, you know, we just have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to take these lab coats off and get as close to someone else's life, partner with them on their terms. And that's when I thought, I really need the folks on the street to teach us how to be better doctors.
How did you establish street cred with the people that you encounter? A lot of times they don't want help from people, especially people they don't know or trust. So how do you get them to accept your help?
I really didn't know how to do it exactly, but I knew I needed to get out there, and I asked around, and there was a fellow, Mike Sallows, who had his own homeless experience for a while, and he was giving out blankets and food, and I asked him if I could come along, and he said, okay, we need doctors out there, but you just can't dress like a doctor and, you know, don't act like a jerk. So I he was my ambassador and has been my guide for 22 years. And I dressed pretty much down. In the beginning, I actually tried to dress like a homeless person. And
why did you do that? I mean, wouldn't it have been better to approach people on the street with if you had a white coat on, if you had a stethoscope, if you're carrying if you looked like a doctor typically looks, isn't that enough to tell people, hey, I'm here to help?
Yeah, like I said, I really didn't know. All I really knew was that I did not want to come off from a position where folks had to work on my terms. They had to come to me or the system, really. I wanted to kind of go end run that, go all the way out, become Robin Hood, if you will, become, you know, part of the community out there. And so some of that was just kind of my own existential thinking. And I was thinking about it the other day, I think I wanted to be treated like a human being. And I felt like if all that baggage of being the doctor was the first thing that people thought, then they weren't going to listen to me and who I was. And so those early years, those early days, especially sitting by the riverbank next to the fire, there were times for me to just be accepted as a person as well.
What was it like before you were known to the people on the streets? What was the nature of some of the encounters that you had? I would have to think you might have had some hairy experiences.
Yeah, and I want to say that, you know, obviously no one should go out and start just going under bridges and into abandoned buildings. There is a lot of danger involved, theoretically.
Was there for you?
Well, I did have some times. There was a couple times when guns were pointed at me and a guy threatened to cut my throat. And but the mic was there and, you know, kind of helped guide me through that. We did wear bulletproof vests for about 2 years. After I got to be known, though, I've never had so much love from a group of people as the folks on the street. And I know that they would, you know, they would not harm me, and none of the volunteers have been harmed. And in fact, all the street medicine programs in the country that I know of, no one's ever been harmed by a street person.
Is there a disconnect because doctors by nature nowadays are somewhat cloistered and don't do the house call thing the way the so-called old country doctors used to do, going mm-hmm. to people's houses and responding to a call or just maybe checking up on people to see how they're doing?
Yeah, I think there's something really organic and basic to the medical field, the health field, and nurses as well, and other health professionals. I think we're all somewhat trapped in a structure that dehumanizes the experience for not just the patients, but for the people who really want to provide care. So many structural issues keep us from organically being able to just look at the whole person and deal with them in a holistic way. It liberates you when you're under a bridge to just, you know, start fresh and say whatever makes sense, that's what we're going to do. If it has to do with your shoes or your transportation or, you know, some dream that you have that you want to talk about, you can start there. And so I think this is really a 180-degree different way of looking at healthcare. It's not you come to us. It's we bring what we have to you. We partner with you with humility and respect. You have your own solutions for your own health, but you're not in it alone anymore. And I think that's basically the same approach we could use with any patient that we have. That's how you'd want to be treated. That's how I would want to be treated.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Dr. Jim Withers, who brings health care to the homeless through the nonprofit Operation Safety Net. What kinds of people are you seeing and treating out there, Dr. Withers?
It's a wide range. For the most part, these are folks. They're largely men. Probably 75% are men. African-American community is painfully overrepresented. Over half of the folks are. Although we have young people who are in late teens, early 20s, and people in their 80s are out there. Mental health problems are prevalent. People estimate that differently, but it's probably 30 to 50% have significant mental health issues that are underdiagnosed and certainly untreated. But every one of them is a unique person with a wonderful story, and I think that's why the medical and nursing students really enjoy this rotation, is that the stories that people have and how they got there really brings the experience to life.
How do the folks that you are dealing with, particularly at this time of year, how are they surviving the winter? This has been a brutal winter, and you read about people that are outside in this weather. You know, even if they have blankets or some sort of a makeshift shelter, it has to be a real challenge just to stay alive on the streets at this time of year.
Yeah. It has been a really tough winter. Not the toughest we've ever had, but it's getting up there. I think it just speaks to the resourcefulness and the determination of people, the survival that they've got is a testament to the strength within them. We have a severe weather shelter that we run. Allegheny County funds it, and we have other agencies that join us. Any night it's 25 degrees or below. We get sleeping bags on to everybody out there who remains outside, and we get donated and we purchase boots for them. We monitor their feet. And then we've really been lucky at the Pittsburgh Mercy Health System program to be able to get people into housing. We've housed over 1,000 people in the last 10 years in their own apartments. So a lot of the folks that would have been out there and very vulnerable are not there. But we have patrols going out to make sure that nobody's freezing pretty much all the time now.
Obviously, some people are in a more serious state than others. like a woman you encountered who is terminally ill with cancer. What can you do for a woman like that?
Well, again, the same principle that you just start where you are and you kind of deal with reality. A lot of healthcare is not reality-based. It's based on what you have, you know, in terms of the insurance issues and other things. So if you're just talking about the cancer and the medical problems, they're always connected with these social and insurance issues. We gain trust and then we walk with them into services that we've already networked and are willing to take homeless people. And it's sometimes it's a slippery slope to climb, but we just keep crawling it with them to get them into the health care that they need.
I read where you said that you felt like an outcast among some of your former colleagues. Why is that?
I think early on there was real skepticism about the value of what I was doing. I guess some people said it's not real medicine. To me, it's the fulfillment of medicine. I mean, it's you're bringing all those medical skills and you're practicing. You might as well be in a third world country or in a place that's been devastated by an earthquake or something when you're working with some of these folks, because for all practical purposes, there's no healthcare access at the time. So you've got to really dig deep in your clinical skills and your problem solving and your relationship building and all the things that really, I think, are the highest calling of medicine to be able to do. So I think people were skeptical, and maybe it was how they were looking at their own field that was doing that. But I had this moment, this aha moment, that a lot of people really were seeing what I was doing, and it was meaning a lot to them. In my own hospital, I began getting phone calls after about 3 or 4 years from older doctors saying, "Jim, if there's one thing I want my daughter to see before she goes to medical school or in medical school, my son, it's what you do. Could you take them on the street with you? Because this is what medicine is really about." And after about 7 or 8 of those phone calls, I realized that there's a lot more support and love of this kind of approach than I actually thought.
There were those who expressed doubts about your career path and your sanity. Mm-hmm. Did you have those kinds of doubts?
Yeah, at times I thought, I'm getting a little too far from the barn here.
Too far from the barn.
Yeah, I've been out of the barn for a while. And anyway, I love crossing different realities, because I think that if you just restrict yourself to one, then you're not getting a complete picture. So, yeah, there were times when it's a surreal experience when you really enter another world. And part of that journey is the discovery of new people and the appreciation of them. And part of the journey is knowing who you are in a new place. And that took me by surprise. But then I think the circle can complete when you bring that understanding from another world back to your medical community, to your regular community, and integrate the fabric of that into the whole community. And I think this is ultimately all about, we're in this together, this is one community, and love and caring for each other is what defines us here in Pittsburgh.
Has your effort to bring healthcare to the homeless, has Operation Safety Net helped get people off the streets?
Yes. In terms of the housing that I mentioned, over 1,000 people, with the help of other agencies in town here. And I think there's a message that was really different from the first days I was on the street, is that none of us are perfect. Things have gone wrong. Some of it might be your fault. Some of it might not be. But there's a community that's not going to give up on you. If you forgive us, we'll forgive you, and we'll just keep trying. And so I think that hope is one of the strongest things that has allowed people to move towards housing that I really wouldn't have imagined them doing back in the 90s.
And where do you hope street medicine goes from here?
Well, I'd like to see it integrated more deeply here with our health system and the others in the city. I'd like no one to fall through the cracks. And then we have a new organization, the Street Medicine Institute, which is a global organization. And we have annual meetings of this new field. We have 5 continents and over 90 communities that are doing this. And I would love to see every street person in the world have access to medical care every medical school to have a classroom of the streets. And I think that can actually help inform us as a world to be better.
Dr. Jim Withers of Operation Safety Net joining us in Studio A to talk about his continuing efforts to bring health care to the homeless. Dr. Withers, thanks for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Coming up, actor Randy Kovitz talks about his one-man show about the search behind a century-old overdue library book. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.